Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've shown us and for the peace that you give us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you help us to focus on you and that we can see your word and your expectations and try to do our best to live up to your expectations, Lord. And we thank you that when we don't quite live up to them, that you're right there to whisper in our ear, to help us to stay on track, to get us where you need us to be, and just still continue to lavish us with your love. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We just lift this time up to you right now. We pray that your presence would be here with us, that you would help us and guide us and teach us something today. We lift up those who aren't here today, Lord. At one point in time, we were getting pretty full, and now we get pretty sparse, and it just is very hit and miss. But we just lift it all up to you, because you say where two or more are gathered, that you're there in the presence. And so we count on that and trust in that. And so we just lift this time up to you, and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we were reading in 1 John. And last week we went back to 1:1, and just kind of a real quick to where we were and where we stopped. We're 1:1-4 said John's talking about Jesus, and he's testifying that Jesus was real and that he was with Jesus and he walked with Jesus and fellowship with Jesus and followed him. And verses 5 and 6 talks about God as being light, and if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet still walk in darkness, that we are lying. Verses 7 through 10, we read that, and it says that if we walk in the light, that Jesus' blood purifies us from all sin. But if we claim to have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we know that we sin and confess them, he forgives us and purifies us. Chapter 2, the first 6 verses, introduced kind of an if clause that said, if we obey his commands, then we know that we know him. Just claiming to know him but not obeying his commands makes us a liar. Other scripture says if we love him, we will obey his commands. Verses 7 through 14 talked about true love and true light and overcoming evil. 15 through 17, we talked about, it says that you can't love both God and the world, and we talked about playing church versus being the church. And then verse 18 to 27 was speaking about antichrists and the spirit of antichrist, denying the Son, and it was talking about us receiving an anointing or the Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit about how the Holy Spirit illuminates Scripture for us and helps it to become alive, and we kind of stopped there. So we're going to pick up at verse 28. So this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Are you with us? Where are we at?
1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 28.
That was pretty close.
Chapter
2, verse 20. We're starting at 28. Well. I'm sorry, I pulled a teacher trick on you. All right, 28 says, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right is born of him. John says, dear children. And we know he's not talking about little kids, right? He's talking about children of God. And I just put down here that a few weeks ago, I remember Big John made a comment. He said, we are all God's children. And I know what he was referring to. He was talking about, we're all God's children. Let's just love everybody. And we need to be out there loving everyone and not judging and placing, you know, condemnation or anything, because we're all God's children and we should just love one another. But when you're looking at Scripture and it refers to children or children of God, that's not what it's talking about, right? It's very specific that of how to become a child of God. And we're all created by God. We're all loved by God. He has dominion over us. Scripture says that Christ died for the sin of the world, not just some of the sin or some of the world. And it tells us that God doesn't desire even one of us to perish. So we all belong to God, but we're not all children of God. Verse 29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right is born of him. Does that mean that we have to be right all the time? Hope not, or we're all messed up and in trouble.
We're still in this
heavenly
form.
I said we're still in this earthly form. We're not going to be perfect.
Right.
I think that's the goal, for us to do what is right.
Yeah.
And I think in order to even attempt to meet that goal, you got to know what's right to begin with. I mean, if it says do what is right, it doesn't mean we have to be right all the time. It doesn't mean that we argue and that we're constantly right and we know everything. It means that we need to be right by God, doing what God says is right. And in order to do that, you have to know what he says. And so to be a children of God, you've got to know what God says to begin with, so that you can do what he says, so that you're doing what is right. And when we do mess up or fail or let our own desires get in the way, then there's forgiveness, and his word and his Holy Spirit helps us get back on track. What it says, as far as the children of God, put a finger in that where we're at and look at what John 1, not 1 John, but John 1 says. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Of course, he's talking about, this is about Jesus.
Yeah.
Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. This is John the Baptist. So that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So there John says that all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. But living right, I guess I don't want to say things that causes confusion, because the right to become a member of God's family is an act of grace, right? It's on His part. It's not something that we can earn by how we live. We don't earn it by living right. Living right is a result of our choice to accept the gift and honor Him with the way that we live our lives. So let's go back to John, 1 John 3.
1 John?
Yeah, back to 1 John. Back to 1 John.
The children of God love one another.
Huh?
It's the children of God love one another.
Where do you see that?
Well, that's the whole chapter 3.
Oh, is that what a heading in yours, a top of 3?
Mm-hmm.
This says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. I read that and I thought, all right, so if we believe in Christ, we have the right to become a child of God. And we get accepted in, and then it's our job to know what God expects from us. It's our job to learn His scriptures. It's our job to know what's right and wrong. And it's our job to try our best to do the things that are right. And the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit gives us all of the gifts of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which one of them is self-control and, you know, the love and the compassion and all the gifts that the Spirit brings. And it's our job to kind of live those things out, right? But this says that the world did not know Him. And if we are children of God, the world doesn't know us. And so there's a disconnection. There's a disconnection between the world and a child of God. And it's like we are always trying to bridge that connection. We're always trying to connect with people that's in the world. And I keep thinking, you know, it says that the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And I keep thinking that, how do we get to know Him? I mean, how did we come to know Him? We were in the world, right? All of us were in the world. Mm-hmm. All of us were not children of God, you know? I mean, how many of us think we're children of God now? I do.
Yeah.
So,
we all do.
Right? So, how do we get from one place to the other? How do we get from being in the world to being a child of God? I thought you were going to say something. You just took a breath.
For me, I just knew there had to be something better, something else, something more. And I got tired of living for Tina, doing stupid stuff, you know? And I needed help.
Yeah, me too.
And Christ was there to help me. And then finally I accepted Him into my heart. But it took a long time. A long time. And you know, I realize now that the scars I have show me how much strength I had, if that makes any sense. And I'm a survivor, so.
You're a survivor?
I'm a survivor.
That sounds like a song. I thought you were going to bust into a song there.
No.
You know, we talk about all of this. I don't know. It's like you have predestination. You have those who are called by God. You have those who... And I don't understand all of that completely. You know, I don't know how God decides who He's calling, who He's not calling, who's going to answer His call, who's not going to answer His call. Because there are people that are in the world that are not children of God yet. right? But there are so many that can become or will become children of God, and that's the whole purpose of us getting out there and loving people and sharing with people and talking to people and all of that, you know. But the truth is, there are some people out in the world right now that are not, that will not ever become a child of God. And I don't know if those decisions are already made. I don't know if those are already determined.
Yeah, that's always a debate. You know, it's not a debate. You know, God knows.
Yes.
Yeah. But he knew before time, I think. Yeah. I honestly believe that.
Yeah, you know, like with me, you know, when I was young, I had different things that was told to me by my mother and stuff about how God was in their life when they needed him, you know, when they were younger and all that stuff. And so I was introduced that way, you know, that I knew that there was a God. But, you know, I didn't decide I wanted to live for him for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was a typical young teenager, you know, and, but it just, one day it just, you know, well, actually, before I went to Vietnam, I went over and I went to church on a Sunday night by myself, told Mom, I said, I'm going to head on over to the church, and that's when I truly, truly felt that I accepted him. Now, before that, I was even baptized in a creek and all that.
Right.
But I think I was so young, I just didn't really understand.
Didn't capture it, yeah.
Yeah. But after that experience, before I went to Vietnam, and I tell you what, he talked to me several times in Vietnam. You know, the Holy Spirit. I physically actually heard the voice telling me things. So, you know, and that's what, and I think that's another thing that, you know, when I was young and running around, you know, I dated, you know, three or four girls, you know, and stuff like that. And never thought of once that Carolyn and I would ever get together again, even though I knew her since she was a little kid. But, you know, that was also another God thing.
Yeah.
He knew when I got back from Vietnam that we was going to, you know, end up getting married. I didn't know that. But I'm glad. Thank God for her.
I'm glad you're glad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we all have a certain time where it does hit us. And you know, I mean, I've tried to witness to people as much as I can. I remember when I was working on an aircraft for the High Army National Guard, we used to have a helicopter we'd go in at lunchtime, four or five of us, and we would study the Bible together. They used to call us the Holy Huey gang.
Holy Huey.
Yeah.
Because you'd go inside the helicopter and sit.
And I remember when I got promoted to a supervisor, the big supervisor came over and asked me, he says, you know, we're going to have a kind of party for you for getting promoted. And he says, I'm going to ask you, he says, do you mind if we have beer, you know? And I says, well, I'll tell you this. If the guys want to drink beer, that's fine, but I'm not paying for it. You know, I'm not paying for any beer. And he said, okay, I just wanted to see if you, you know. And, you know, I've kept in contact with a lot of them ever since, you know, all those years.
Oh, that's cool.
Still talk to each other once in a while, but you know. But anyway, it's once you get God in there, you know, you don't want to let him go.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you know you feel like you've really let him down, but you know, but still, you cannot force someone to become a Christian.
No.
You can't.
No.
And I think that's been part of my problem is I try to. You know, I try to thug down her throat sometimes. I think I have.
Really?
Yeah, I think my youngest daughter, you know, because I know she's, you know, really living in sin badly. And that's why we ended up raising Michael. And now the other kids, you know, she just did the wrong. She's doing the old Big John stuff, you know, and can't get through to her. I just pray about it.
Yeah.
There's.
I don't know what to do sometimes.
I don't remember if it's in this section we're working on or something else I was looking at now, but it talks about those who are in the world have a viewpoint of the world, and they hear the world, and they listen and understand, and they don't listen and understand when they hear things of God. And those who are of God see things and hear things from the viewpoint of God. And it's, you know, it's part of that disconnect. There's such a disconnection. Somewhere down the line, I think people used to just be, okay, if you believe in God, that's fine. I choose not to. And now it's like there's a battle. It's like we're being separated. We're being pulled out. Because it's not just a you believe what you want and I believe what I want anymore. Now it's pick a side. It's pick a side. And I don't think that's the world doing that. A lot of people say, well, the world's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I think it's God doing that. I think he's separating those who would choose to follow and those who won't. And I think it has to be a choice and a decision like it always has been. But I think it's becoming more of a division. But there definitely is that disconnect. We look at things, and like when I say, well, we do what is right. This is those who are children of God do what is right. Well, you know, I think that the world, and when you talk about the world, sometimes we think, okay, these people are out here and they're living in this horrible, terrible sin, and they're going out and they're partying, and they're doing drugs, and they're doing all this bad stuff, and they're robbing and they're stealing and they're criminals. And that's not always the case. You know, sometimes that's where people are. But sometimes they're just people out there living in life and doing things, and they just don't have God in their lives.
Yeah,
and that's they're still in the world. They just still see everything from that perspective of the world. But I think a lot of times when you talk about the world, or when the scripture's talking about the world, today the world is not as concerned about doing what's right as they are about getting their rights. You know, it's like, oh, well, I have a right. It's like I have something owed to me. I have a right to live how I want, do what I want, be who I want. And we forget that our rights end where it begins to have an effect on someone else. You know, if I say, well, I have a right to do this or that, okay, I have a right to the pursuit of happiness, but if what I think makes me happy all of a sudden is creating an issue or a problem for my neighbor, then my rights stopped already, you know? And I think today people just want everyone else to accept what they want and to let them do whatever they want and say it's okay.
So it's all coming to just what the Bible says in the last days. I mean, it's unbelievable how divided
we've
come. And I guess it's going to get worse, right?
Yes, it is.
That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
I want to make sure that I'm on the right side.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I know he has too, but there are some times I go, man, I hope I'm right about this.
I know.
You know? It's like, I know in my heart and I believe it, and you know, and he does so many things with me and to me and through me, and I'm just like, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, and I just know, but then I'm like, wait, is it all him and I'm just like accepting, and I'm not doing my part? Like, am I supposed to do something else? And I question every once in a while. Not is he real, not does he love me, not right. do I love him or believe, but am I doing enough?
Never feels like enough.
No.
Right.
No, because it's like, I don't know, for me personally, he changed everything. He changed everything. He took my life and changed the way I think, the way I see things, my whole perspective, everything about my life he changed and made it better.
Amen.
And I'm just like, nothing that I have, nothing that I possess, none of my relationships, nothing that I have would be what they are without him. So I owe him everything. And so I just feel like no matter what I do, it's not enough.
I look a lot at God and his love for us as from my perspective as a parent. Yeah. My kids are my kids, no matter what they do.
Exactly.
If we're children of God, it does not matter what we do. We are what we are. We
yes.
can't change that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that does give you a wonderful, wonderful perspective when you're a parent. And
yeah.
you can see, because your kids do things and you're just like, oh. But you never
yeah.
stop loving them.
That's right.
They
yeah.
never stop being your kid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just like the prodigal son.
I'm going to pull us back to scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 5.
Isaiah?
Yeah, because we're talking about what's happening in yeah. the world. Let's look at what Isaiah says.
Isaiah 5.
And Isaiah said this a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, why am I not
Isaiah's
seeing it?
A big book, so...
Five twenty. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. That's right. But look what it says. This is what we're talking about. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Is that not today? Is that, I mean, this was what? This was how many thousands of years ago?
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah was, I think, like 700 years before Christ, and it's been a couple thousand since then, and he's writing this to, you know, what's going on then.
400 years between old and new, right? Is that right?
But
yeah, about 400.
But he's writing this way back then to apply to not only then, but here we are all this time, and we're doing it again, or still. I don't know if it's again or still, but we're doing it still. And it's like, that's exactly what's happening in our society. It's exactly what's happening in our world. Those who call evil good and good evil, who switch out darkness for light and light for darkness, those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And that's what we're dealing with.
And it's our generation that's been turned all that like this right now, seems like. I mean, our parents' generation wasn't as bad as it is now on, you know, what's right is. You know, what's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. It seemed like, it's, you know, all this is in... Since you've been a teacher and stuff, how's it been? Have you seen a big change?
Since we're teachers, you mean?
Since you started teaching.
No.
For me?
Really?
I have seen a change.
Yes, I don't know, yes, but...
More towards the negative side than the positive
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
And not just with the students, but with adults that we have to deal with, whether it be parents, school districts, staff, whoever, you know?
I'm glad you said that the way you did, Richard, because I sometimes think this. I think, am I watching things continually get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse? Or did the generation before me look at me and say, I cannot believe these kids are so bad? I don't know.
I know my mother one time said to us kids, we kids, you said that, well, the only difference between your generation and ours is, you know, we used to do it on the back porch. You guys just do it out in front of the porch.
Yes. I think that's true. I think that what's happened is I don't think people are doing anything that much different or that much worse. I think that it's just out there and everybody knows it now.
It's more focused.
The internet has blown up and has put everything that was on the back porch out on the front.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like we see it, we know it, we hear it. The media, I know, I like that. I'm going to have to steal that from you. I'll have to use that sometime.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. That's what it seems like. It's like things that were done in darkness.
Yeah.
But now,
on the back porch,
those same things are done right out in pure view.
Yeah.
And instead of people being ashamed of it, now they're just saying, this is who I am, accept it. And I think that's a big difference that I've seen.
Yeah.
You're going to accept it, or I'm going to cry hate crime.
Well,
I have to do that too. There's been more people doing that than I can ever remember.
Well, I think there are those who advocate for acceptance and peace.
Yeah.
And they're trying to say, well, everybody deserves equality and everybody deserves to, you know, do whatever. But I think that's part of what's driving the whole desire for us to become socialists these days, is because somehow someone has come, enough people have come to believe that we can all be just all nice and equal and share, and you can't force that. That has to be something that everybody wants.
Yeah, socialism turns to communism.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think the only true socialism was in biblical times, when it says that everyone brought to the church and shared evenly and equally, and everybody, you know, that was voluntary. And I think that if Jesus were back here on this earth today and people were truly doing that and it was voluntary out of the love of your heart, that could be something that is wonderful and works. But I don't see that ever happening on this earth to where it's something that works, because there's always going to be someone that wants more. And you can't force that on people.
No. How many times when you go out to eat, you know, with the family and all that, did you ask the waitress if she has anything, any kind of prayers that you'd like to have?
Not very often, and I should, because I've heard a lot of people talk about...
I've started to do that.
Have you?
Yeah. And surprisingly, how many people would love to have you, you know, pray for them or somebody in their family or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think the last person I said something like that to was Angela at Massey's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we have done that.
Yeah.
Just don't do it on a regular basis.
And we actually prayed with her one time too, right there. But she got another job, and we don't go there much anymore because it's all changed and not for the better. So
when I was in the hospital under for therapy, Carolyn, would you be coming up there? It'd be this one nurse came in, and before she left the room, Carolyn had all the names of all the people she wanted us to pray for and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was a traveling nurse, this woman was. And I thought that was, you know, and we definitely prayed, you know. For, I thought that was pretty neat for Carolyn, because she just, you know, jumped right in there. Yeah.
That's love.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? That's God's love.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean, that's what we should be doing with everyone. all the time. If we were doing that with everyone all the time, faith in Christianity wouldn't be quite so twisted, I think. It would be that people would understand and see examples of what God's love is and what true Christianity is. Because I hear so many people talk about being a Christian, and then they share some of their viewpoints and some of their values, and I'm going, ooh, where'd that come from? Because I think if you're a Christian, your values, whether you live them out all the time or not, because we all make mistakes, but I think your core values have to come from here.
Absolutely.
And if your core values don't line up with what God says it should, then I don't know that that's really Christianity.
Yeah.
You're putting the wrong label on it.
Yeah.
And that's happening more and more and more these days. So definitely darkness is being exchanged for light. Light's being exchanged for darkness. People are more worried about serving themselves. Look at 2 Timothy 4. This just basically says it again. Well, it doesn't say it again in a different way. Basically, this is Paul giving Timothy a charge. He's telling Timothy how he should live and what he should do. 2 Timothy 4.
1?
Yeah. 1 through 5. It says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry."
It's amazing how the word is just, you know, today. You know, it's just like talking to us today.
Talking to us today. That applies 100. That applies 100%, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know.
It's just unbelievable, you know, how we can just read it. And then you try it. I've given my daughter probably 2 or 3 different Bibles. And next thing I know, they're nowhere around, you know. And she knows.
But that's the whole thing there again. We're looking at this and we read this and we go, that is so true. That is so what we need to be doing as well. You know, this is what's happening. This is how we need to react to it. This is what we need to do, how we need to live. And like the spirit inside of us says, yes, yes. And we accept it and believe it. And there's so much truth and so much wisdom and so much stuff in the scripture that's just astounding, that it all fits together, that it all works together, that it is like God's love letter to us, that it is like a history that we can learn from, and that it is the exact same things that keeps repeating itself. And it's incredible and amazing if you get into it and take the time. But that division, that separation, if you are not a child of God, you just don't see it. You can see the same scripture and go, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just somebody trying to control and manipulate me. And I hear that so much. It's like, they're like, oh, Christianity, that's just a bunch of people that want to manipulate people, so they wrote a bunch of stories about stuff. And it's like,
it's much more than that.
I'm like, you know what? If they were, they're trying to manipulate you into being good to one another, to treating each other with love and respect, to being happy, to, I mean, even if that were true.
But it's not.
I know it's not. But I'm just like, even if that were true, which it can't be, but even if it were, it's like, still, why would you not want to have what you get from this? You know, I gotta keep track of time. All right, let's go back to 1 John. 1 John. Back to 1 John. 1 Peter, 1 John. There we go. 1 John, we're at 3 verses, verse 2. Because we only read one verse there. All right, I'm going to read one again, too. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And then it goes on. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, we know what we are now, but we're going to be something so much more because we're going to be like him. And I can't even imagine that. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine being like him.
Can't wait, but I can't imagine.
I mean, I'd like to believe that I'm becoming slowly more and more like him, but to be like him, to take all of the world out of me, to take all of Ron out of me, to take all of that the selfishness, the pride, yeah, all of the negative things that are still in me, to take all of that out of me and for me to be like him without sin, that would be incredible. Yeah. And the thing is all the children of God are going to be that. All the children of God are going to be that. Mm-hmm. So when he returns, you know, when he returns, all of us are going to be that. We're all going to be one-minded. I mean, if you go to like a church event or a revival event or something that is just a retreat, maybe, I don't know. There are some that have got purposes and points, and you feel like you're just being led along and going here and there and doing whatever the agenda is. But I've been to things that it's just a wonderful big group of people focused on Christ, focused on his word, just trying to live it, and it's just incredible. It's just amazing.
You can definitely feel the spirit.
And, yeah. I mean, I think about some of the Via de Cristo events that we used to go to. And those were just incredible. It was what, 30 to 50 men or women. Mm-hmm.
On the team.
On the team. And then another 30 or so, yeah, people that were attending it, and the whole focus was just to lavish each other, yes, with love and service and prayer. And I mean, there was so much. Everybody was just focused on, you know, on God and, yeah, and focused on the whole thing. And we just set everything aside for 3 days, you know, we set everything aside and as best we could, and just wrapped the whole thing in prayer. And it was just, it was almost like a whole nother world, you know. It was like when you spoke to someone, there wasn't arguments, there wasn't fights. People were laughing, people were wonderful to each other, people had a servant's attitude and a servant's heart. Everybody was more about what can I do for you instead of what can I do for me. And, you know, those were just incredible things. And, you know, those were little short three-day weekend things. But when I think about just those, and then multiply that by who knows how much when God removes all of the selfishness and pride and sin out of our lives, and we're all one-minded, we're all like-minded, and we're all focused on that, I'm just like, wow. Could you imagine even being in a church that treat each other like that? I don't know if there's any out there that exists, but I'd sure like to see this one be one.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be incredible. It's just, it's so hard. We live our lives and we're in the world. We're steeped in the world. We're all over. The world's all over us. And, you know, even when we come in here to worship and to share with each other, you know, it's hard to push all of that stuff aside, you know. And even if we're able to do that, we push it aside and it's like it's on hold. It's like, I feel like it's the Red Sea, you know. I pushed it aside, but man, it's sitting there waiting to all come back. As soon as I walk back out the doors, it's going to go whoo, and it's all there again. But that's how it feels sometimes. It's like, you know, we're trying so hard to not live for the world and not live in selfishness, but we can't control anybody but ourselves.
You know, I think one thing, though, nowadays, I think there's a lot of pastors or a lot of, you know, people on TV or whatever. I think the true spirit's coming out.
I do, too.
From all their organizations, finding out the truth. And I think that's a good thing. But then again, that's a bad thing. If you look at all the people that has been, you know.
Stupid.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Of course, it was false teachers, you know.
Ever since.
Creation,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's like the Holy Spirit is moving stronger and more powerful these days, and you can see it in a lot of places. But unfortunately, it's only those who are God-like minded that
realize it.
That can see it as what it is, and the rest of it just see it as propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right, we're out of time. I enjoy our conversations, you guys. But let's close. Lord, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that things that were written so long ago, and they were written for the people then and the situations then, but they were written for us too. The fact that your word is so alive and so relevant and stays relevant, it never goes out of style. It never becomes old-fashioned. It never becomes obsolete, Lord. It's just truth. And truth is always truth, and we thank you so much for that. And thank you, Lord. I know that there's only four of us in here today, but you open our eyes, Lord. You open our eyes and you open our hearts and you help us to see and believe and understand, and we are so blessed because of that. Because I know so many people that are just groping around in darkness. They're sad, they're angry, they're hurting, they're depressed, they're mad, there's all kinds of issues that they just can't seem to get over, and it's because they can't see the light. They're just groping around, and this world doesn't have a whole lot to offer us, Lord, but you have everything we need, and we thank you for that. Help us to be able to find those that are in darkness and to shine a little light, but to do it with love, not condemnation, not so that they think we're better than them, but just so that they know that we care and we want to be helpful. I love that Richard's starting to pray for his waitresses or just random people in his life. Lord, help us all to do that. It's a wonderful thing. But we just lift this service up to you. And we lift this church up to you, and we lift our families up to you, Lord. We lift all of our families up to you, Lord. Our families are oftentimes a struggle, and they're the ones that are so very close to us, but they're the ones that hurt us the most as well. And so we just lift them all up to you, Lord, because the desire of our hearts is to have all of our families with us, with you. And so we just thank you, we praise you, and we just offer this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.